Today I want to share 4 points about the little instrument we all carry in our mouth, the tongue, the marvelous tongue that gives us the ability to communicate. Today I want to share 4 points about that little instrument that every one of us need to consider. Before I do that, I'm going to invite you once again to pray with me, if you would, this morning. Our loving Father, we invite your presence again, right now, to come into our individual hearts, that we might understand what you would have us to see about ourselves in your word today, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you still have your Bibles open, I'd invite you to join with me as I read for you chapter 3 of the book of James. James chapter 3. It's a powerful little chapter tucked away there in the latter part of your Bible, but it's a book that has much counsel, and chapter 3 in particular deals with an issue that sometimes we don't want to really confront, but all of us need to. And by the way, fellas, do you know what today is? It's Hearts Day, isn't it? Yes, yes, yes. So have you used your tongue wisely today to tell your wife you love her? For you young fellas that are looking forward to a wife, have you told your special sweetheart that you love her too? And I hope that love continues to grow. Someday you may even tell another sweetheart that if you haven't married her yet, but it's always important to tell people you love them, right? At every stage of growth in your life, it's always important to tell people you love them. By the way, 2 little girls gave me a couple little Valentine's cards yesterday as soon as I walked into school. Here, Pastor Santee, so I know I have 2 sweethearts out there, and I appreciate them very, very much. Joy our children. You have it there, James 3, verse 1. My brethren, sisters implied, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Have you ever offended in word? We're going to talk about that a little bit today. Verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body just by pulling on the rein. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce wind, yet are they turned about with a very small little helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. He just turns the wheel, and a little rudder at the back guides that mighty ship. And the tongue, verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter of a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. That's pretty strong language, isn't it, that James is using here? For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath tamed of mankind. We can tame everything. It seems as men, we have the ability to tame everything about us. But the tongue, verse 8, but the tongue no man can tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly, what? Poison, like a serpent, behind its mouth and little sacks, poison. We need to drain the sacks, amen, of the poison. Verse 9 says, therewith bless we God with our tongue, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things what? What does it say? Ought not to be. We're sort of like a double-minded man, a double-tongued man. We speak out of one side of our mouth and speak out of another. Now, we've all known people that have done that, right? Did they have your name? Some have had my name. Verse 11, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? The question is obvious. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs, So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endureth with knowledge among you? Let him show out a good conversation. Show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if ye have bitter envies and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Notice where the bitter envy and strife comes from. It doesn't come from the tongue, does it? It comes from the heart. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Verse 15, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and evil, every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first, would you read that with me? But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That verse 17 should be circled in your Bible if it isn't. Should be underlined in your Bible if it isn't. Should be highlighted in your Bible if it isn't. And most of all, it should be written in your heart if it isn't. Today I'd like to take a look at 4 points that I've mentioned about our little tongues. Our first little point that you might want to just jot down, there are 4 little easy things, but it's nice to remember these and reflect back on them. So if you have your bulletin, you want to just write a little note or two on your bulletin, I think you can find a little blank enough spot to write 4 little points. Our first little point concerning the tongue, very important point. Number one, a careless or loose tongue neutralizes or cancels everything spiritual in your life. I'll say it again. A careless or loose tongue neutralizes or cancels everything spiritual in your life. It's a pretty heavy thought. Take a look at James 1:16. James 1, if you still have your Bible there, take a look at James 1, verse 16. I'm sorry, it's James 1, 26. Verse 26. Misspoke, James 1, 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, notice what it says, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's what? Religion is vain. You can say what you want, you can do what you want, you can act any way you please. You can be religious and you can be pious. You can go to church. You can look good. But if your tongue's not bridled, your religion is what? Vain. It's canceled. No credit. It's of no value whatsoever. Take a look at 1 Corinthians. That's a familiar passage. Take a look at 1 Corinthians. Most of us recognize that particular chapter, and especially chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13, we know that as the great love chapter. I'd like for you to read the first 3 verses of that with me, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Let's take a look at it here, okay? 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3. Ready? Reading aloud together. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or love, I am become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity or love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity or love, it profiteth me nothing. Beloved, listen to me. All our good works, all our dedication, all our sacrificing is canceled if we have a careless or loose tongue. It's canceled. Though we're burned at the stake, though we give every dollar to the poor or forsake everything in this life for our faith, It will all be canceled if we have an evil tongue. Pretty heavy. Let me show you why that's true. Let's take a look at point number two. You might want to write it down. Point number two, the words we speak are but a reflection of our heart. The words we speak are but a reflection of our heart. Take a look at Matthew for a moment. Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. And let's take a look at verses 34 and 35. Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 and 35. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Beloved, we find ourselves, perhaps at times, quarreling. Perhaps we find ourselves fighting and arguing with other individuals, sometimes even about religious things. Perhaps, beloved, some of us may even find ourselves complaining about things in the church or murmuring about this thing or that thing. But if that's taking place on a consistent basis in our life, we know one thing for sure, beloved. We know that we have a serious heart problem. If poison is coming out of our mouths, between our lips, it's because there's a deadly liquid in our hearts. You see, there are some that like to excuse their friends by saying, well, he's not always like that. He's really a good Christian. He's really a good person. Occasionally, though, he just sort of lets everything go. Beloved, that's about as serious as saying, well, he generally is faithful to his wife, but occasionally he steps out on her. Are you thinking with me this morning, beloved? This little sin of the tongue is extremely important because it has its foundation in the human heart. Now notice James 3 again. Maybe you've marked it. We're going to come back there a time or two. James chapter 3. Notice it again, verses 11 and 12. We've already read it, but let's read it again. Verses 11 and 12. Does the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water or bitter? What's the obvious answer to that? No. And then verse 12. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Pastor David Wilkerson, who wrote the little book, The Cross and the Switchblade, that I think perhaps a number of you may have heard of or read, a pastor who pastored in the ghettos of one of our large cities in the United States to deal with young people and to get them to recommit their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, one day overheard, or one of his staff members overheard, a young convert, a young fellow, making an excuse for an adulterous act of a fellow church member. The young Christian made this statement, "No problem. The blood of Jesus covers all sins. He's covered." And Dave Wilkerson picked up on that. And this is what Pastor Dave said. "Young friend, you've got it all wrong. The blood of Jesus covers only those sins that are truly repented of and forsaken. The blood never excuses or overlooks sin. Your brother who is living in adultery needs to fall before Jesus, confess his sin, and cry out for the power to overcome the lust of his life." Pretty powerful words, isn't it? And beloved, so it is with the sin of the tongue this morning. We cannot continue living with gossip, with slander, and argumentative words day after day after day, and then simply lie down at night and offer up a casual prayer saying, Lord, if I've said any bad words today, forgive me. Your blood covers it all. I don't think so, beloved. We cannot be content with continually misusing the gift that God has given us, the gift of the tongue. And if we are continually doing it, beloved, we need a heart transplant. There's a problem that's deeper than the tongue. It goes to the heart. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. You must have a new heart because the old one, you can't fix it. Right, Dorothy? We can't fix it anymore. We talked about that in our class today. God wants to give us victory, beloved. He wants to change our heart. He's not content with just handing out notes of forgiveness. In fact, the time is coming when no more forgiveness will be offered. Are you aware of that? Some of us kind of think we're just going to continue to ask for another note of apology. We're saying, God, we're sorry, and He'll just write it off. And one day He'll come while He's still writing them off. He'll take us home and just erase the board again. Your love doesn't work that way. How do I know that? Because of our next step that I want you to write down. It's point number three. Point number three is the day of judgment. In the day of judgment, we will have to answer for every careless and vain word that we have ever spoken. I'm going to say it again. You see, there's a day of judgment coming, isn't there? In fact, as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we believe we are in the final day of judgment today. Now that may shock some of our evangelical Christians and our friends outside of Adventism. But listen, beloved, ask yourself a simple question. If you and I are alive when Jesus comes, when will we have been judged? For when Jesus comes, He comes to hand out His rewards, doesn't He? How can He reward us if He hasn't judged us yet? Are you thinking with me? What I'm saying, beloved, based on God's Word, that there is a judgment, and upon simple theological points of logic, the judgment has to come before Jesus comes. Amen? He has to know who He's taking and who's being left. So the judgment has to take place. You see, some of us in the Christian community have the idea that as soon as you die, then the judgment. And we sort of think, well, I can just go on until I die and then the judgment. Well, that's partial truth, perhaps. But what if we don't die? I asked that to a Catholic friend once. He was studying for the priesthood, been studying for about 7 years for the priesthood. And I asked him, I said, tell me, what would happen if you were to die before, what would happen if you were to be alive, when Jesus came and you didn't have an opportunity to go through purgatory? So I had to add that for Catholics because they believe in purgatory and most of the rest of us don't. You see, but some Catholics are looking forward to dying because once they die, then they can go through the purging process through purgatory, or if they're a baby, they can go through limbo, or they can have a lot of prayers prayed for them and they can go to heaven, see? But what happens if you're alive when Jesus comes? You haven't gone through purgatory yet, haven't gotten it together yet. And I wish you could have seen this would-be priest's face. He said, you just destroyed my theology. See, the idea of a judgment coming before Jesus comes is new to some people. The fact that you and I might be alive, but isn't that what Paul said to the Thessalonian church? That when Christ comes with His shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. See, there's going to be a group of people on the earth alive. Right, Forrest? And so my question is, what happens to those? When are they judged? Obviously, the judgment, beloved, has to take place before Jesus comes the second time. And most of my Christian friends outside of our fellowship believe that Jesus is about to come. So by their own thinking, they should recognize we must be in the day of judgment. If Jesus is certainly, if He's coming, is imminent, we must be close, wouldn't you say? So again, let's take a look at that point number three, the day of judgment. In that day of judgment, we will have to answer for every careless and vain word we have ever spoken. I didn't say that. Jesus says that. Matthew 12. Let's take a look at it. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12. Words of Jesus. Matthew 12, verses 36. And verse 37. And that should be in red in your Bible if you have a red letter edition, representing the words of Jesus as Matthew recorded them. Matthew 12, verses 36 and 37. Would you read those with me? Let's read them aloud together. Make sure that your Bible says the same as mine. All right, is that fair? If you have a better edition and I don't have to watch what I say, I'll take your Bible. No, I won't. This one is true. Here we go. Let's read together, verses 36 and 37. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Is that rather strong or not? Jesus said that. You notice he didn't say by your acts of adultery, by all the violence you've done in your life, will you be judged or condemned. But by every word that proceeds out of your mouth, that's what condemns you in the judgment. Not that the others are not going to be judged. That isn't what I'm saying. But beloved, the emphasis is the word. Why? Because it's the word that comes out that is an index to the heart. We need to ask ourselves this morning if we are among those who bless with the tongue or among those who curse with the tongue. Back to James again. Have you marked it yet? Some of you keep losing the page. Mark it. We'll be back there again. James chapter 3. Let's take a look at it in verses 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10. Do we bless with the tongue or do we curse with the tongue? Therewith bless we God with the little tongue, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, what does the Bible say? These things ought not to be so. Now the Greek word that James uses here for curse actually means to tear down, to bring one down, to denounce a person as evil. That's what that little word curse means. And that is exactly what evil speaking does. That's what gossip does. It tears down reputations. It breaks up homes. It destroys church families. Amen? No wonder God says that we will have to give an account of every idle and evil word that we speak. Notice again what James says in chapter 3 and verse 6. Chapter 3 and verse 6 about the tongue. He says, it is a fire, a world of iniquity. It defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. That's what hell's made up of. If there is a hell, it's bad. It's a terrible thing. It's everything that's evil is there. This brings us to our fourth point, our last point. You cannot tame your tongue. You cannot tame your tongue. Well, if we can't tame it, then it seems like we've wasted this hour together, haven't we? You've told us all these things, Pastor, about our tongues and about all the evil and the bad and what they do, but now you tell us we can't change. So is that it? Do we go home? No. Thank you, Dave. Hang in here. There's got to be something good out of this sermon. Somewhere we've got to find something good. James 3, verse 8. James 3, verse 8. The tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Even Isaiah the prophet recognized man's nature when he cried out, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of," do you remember, "unclean lips, and I dwell." He went so far as to include you and me in that. He said, "And I even dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have beheld the King, the Lord of hosts." When Isaiah the prophet saw the great throne of God lifted up and he saw the glory of God, something happened to the old man. Something happened within his carnality. Something happened within him. He melted before the majesty of God. Beloved, in Isaiah's prayer, we find a key to our being changed from men and women of unclean lips to men and women of sanctified tongues. Ellen White, my favorite author, put it like this in The Great Controversy, page 555. It's an easy page to remember, isn't it? Count your fingers on both hands and one set of toes on one foot, and you've got it, right? 555. Here we go, a very easy one, The Great Controversy. "It is a law, both of the intellectual and spiritual nature, that by beholding, we become changed." And what do you think we've become changed into? Whatever we're beholding. Thank you, Frank. By beholding, we become changed into the likeness of that which we behold. The question then, obviously, we need to ask ourselves today is, are we beholding more of the Power Rangers, MTV, than Jesus? Or are we really beholding the greatest of all Power Rangers? Are we beholding the greatest of all, the mightiest, the most powerful, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? Are we beholding Jesus? If we are, by beholding Him, we become changed into His likeness. When Isaiah beheld Jesus high and lifted up on His throne, Isaiah fell before the throne, recognizing his own true condition. It was then, beloved, in Isaiah 6, verses 6 and 7, it was then that one of the angels flew unto him, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon Isaiah's mouth and said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." Don't you like that? Beloved, maybe we need a coal from off of that altar to touch our lips, that our tongue might be cleansed, that our hearts might be purged, that we might be changed, that we might be able to communicate praise and honor and things that are worthy of others listening to. And we too, beloved, can be touched by the hand of God's special messengers today. We can be changed. We can bring glory to God and to His church and to one another and to those within our community. We need not have to continue destroying those about us and those that we love in particular. But we can build up the house of God. We can build up our families, our communities, and strengthen God's people. Let me show you how we can do that. Ezekiel gives us an answer. Ezekiel chapter 36. Would you turn there with me, please? Over in the Old Testament, just before the book of Daniel. Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36. And let's take a look at verses 23 through 27. Here Ezekiel gives us God's answer to our problem. God is speaking here through Ezekiel the prophet. In verse 23, he says, "And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, and which you, in the Dals and elsewhere, have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes." You see, what God wants to do, beloved, is more than just justify His saints. He wants to sanctify them too. He doesn't want to just forgive us because of the way we've used our tongue. He wants to cleanse us and make our tongue a source of praise to His glory. 24, chapter 36 of Ezekiel. "For I will take you from among the heathen." Is that what He's done? He's done that for me. And He says, I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you and ye shall be clean. From all filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. See, the old one won't work. Can't fix the old one. We need a new heart. And God said, I will give you a new heart. And I will give you a new spirit. And I will put within you these things. Verse 26, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. So you can empathize and sympathize. So you can reach out and touch other people. And their lives can be changed by your touch. Because then your touch becomes an extension of my touch. Your hands are my hands extended. Your lips are my lips extended. Your communication is my communication extended. God wants us to serve Him through our tongues. But it goes on and concludes in verse 27 for us this morning. After He takes away the stony heart, He then gives us a heart of flesh that we can be sympathetic, understanding of those about us. And verse 27, I will pray my spirit. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Beloved, this morning I have a big question for you. Who has your heart today? Whoever has your heart has your tongue. Today is a very special day, February 14. The greatest gift that you can give today is not a box of chocolates. The greatest gift that you can give today is not a card with a signature. The greatest gift that you can give today is your old heart. Let God take it away and let Him give back to you not a box of chocolates, not a card, but let Him give to you His heart. His heart that was broken on Calvary's cross for the entire world so that you can understand what it's like to see through the eyes that Jesus saw through on Calvary's cross. So that you can have the heart that Jesus had when He cried out to those who persecuted Him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Today Jesus wants to give you His heart. He wants to give you His love, His compassion, His hope, His promise. Beloved, if you will open your heart today and give what you have to Him, let Him come and take what you have, then He will give to you a new heart. His heart of compassion. And in that gift, you will find a new vocabulary. For you will find that His will, His thoughts, His words are now coming out of your new heart. Beloved, that's what I want so much in my life. Do you want it too? Why don't we ask Him for it today? Let's pray. Father, today as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, our hearts reach up to You. Our hearts are so unworthy, so unclean, so vile, so human. And Father, we want that old heart taken away. Please, we can't fix it. We want You to come and take it today. And then we want You to come and give to us a new heart. Create in us a clean heart, Father, and renew a right spirit within us so that we might truly be born again today and every day. That every word that we speak, every thought that we think might be words of encouragement, of hope, of forgiveness, of gentleness, of kindness. To bring hope to the hearts of those who have none. To take away the pain of those who are suffering all about us. And give them peace. Father, we want that new heart today. And I'm going to ask, just as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, if there's others here this morning, I know there are, we perhaps all want to raise our hand and say, God, please, today, right now, take my heart. for I cannot give it. But take it away. And in place of the old, give me a new heart. If that's your decision, keep your hand up right now and just say, God, I want the new heart. And Father, as our hands are still up today, we ask that because we're reaching heavenward in the only way we can as human beings, as we're reaching up, we ask that you will reach down and do that for us that we cannot do. Change us. Change our hearts that we might give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor with converted tongues from now throughout eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. If you have been blessed by this message or other American Cassette Ministry cassettes, please take a moment just now and write to us. We'd love to hear how this ministry is helping you in your spiritual journey. International Copyright 1998, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. For additional cassettes by this speaker or for a free catalog, please contact us as follows. To order toll-free in the United States and Canada, dial 1-800-233-4450. Our 24-hour fax number is 717-652-9050. For international calls, dial 717-652-7000. Our internet email address is info@americancassette.org. Visit our website on the internet at www.americancassette.org. Or you may simply write to American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17108 in the United States of America. Serving faithfully for 23 years, we request your prayers and continued financial support as we strive to provide you with the finest, most powerful spiritual messages available. Our one purpose in ministry, to prepare you and your loved ones to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.